acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 1, Inspiration. Thursday, August 16th. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes are located on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. I've also started a Facebook page for the podcast. You can find me on Ravelry as Sarah Pomegranate. Photographs and details of my finished projects are listed on my Ravelry project page. This podcast is available on iTunes. I welcome your suggestions and comments about the show. Today's episode features segments titled Backstory, The Front Porch, The Back Porch, Double Happiness, and Gratitude Journal. Backstory. Well, episode 1 is all about inspiration, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the inspiration for this show being the inspiration of Yinhu Chaoyuan. That translates to Silver Lake Tea House, and it is a replica of a Chinese tea pavilion. It's near Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, and it was built in the early 1920s. Probably finished in 1922. Originally, it was not a house. It was a tea room, a restaurant serving luncheons and light suppers with a gift shop upstairs. There was no inside staircase, and the whole appearance was very rustic with a screened-in porch all the way around. And we believe it was the idea of Elizabeth Hoag, who had a farm and farmhouse across the street, to build this tea house based on a tea house that is still existing in Newport, Rhode Island. This summer, Samuel, my partner, and I had the opportunity to visit Newport and see what we believe was the inspirational structure for Yinhu. It is a tea house in a much more ornate style. It's on the grounds of Marble House, which is one of the mansion properties that you can visit in Newport on the Cliff Walk. This particular tea house was built somewhat earlier in the teen years, and the purpose of it was to serve as a spectacle for the entertainment that Alva Vanderbilt had at Marble House. There were costume pageants there, and she also had elaborate outdoor banquets and speeches and rallies, all for the cause of women's suffrage. Today, the tea house on the grounds of Marble House serves as a snack shop, and they serve cookies and coffee and hummus and crackers to folks who are touring the various mansions on the Cliff Walk. But it is interesting that it's still open and that you can walk through it and on the grounds. The tea house in Rhode Island is a one-story structure, although the inside ceiling is very high. There are many paneled doors and windows which are consistent with the design of our tea house, Yinhu. It has a very elaborate roof with swales and tiles instead of shingles. That is a major difference between our house and the one in Rhode Island. Nevertheless, a lot of features were the same. There are a lot of light and shadows. That's one of the distinguishing features of Chinese design and architecture. And it's situated in such a way that a lovely breeze blows through it from the water. The house we live in is situated on a creek and waterfall. It was really a lot of fun to tour this tea house and tour the grounds of Marble House and hear about the history of the place and the people. She only lived there for a few summers before she and her husband divorced, and then she was living in another house. So it didn't see a lot of activity, but there were a number of parties there, and the history to the house is very interesting. One of the selling points of a lot of the tours, and something that it seems the trust is trying to put forward with all the popularity of Downton Abbey these days, is a focus on the servants' quarters and the life of the servants in these houses. So I found that very interesting. The kitchen in the basement was very well furnished. It had a lot of the original pieces of equipment and the pots and pans on a very large scale. And the audio tour had a lot of information about how the kitchen ran, how Alva Vanderbilt employed a French chef at a very steep price of $10,000 per year salary. When we returned from Newport, we re-examined the postcard that leads us to believe there was a connection between Alva Vanderbilt in Rhode Island and Elizabeth Hoag near Delaware Water Gap. It is a postcard addressed to Elizabeth Hoag. On the front is a picture of the tea house on the cliffs of Rhode Island. It's one of those old-fashioned black and white photographs that's been colored with some kind of pigments that make it look very bright, almost neon in some cases. And it's unclear from whom this postcard came, but there's some writing on it that says, "I think you'll be interested in this tea house," and also, "I'm sorry I missed your opening." We expect that comment is based on the opening of this tea house, Yin Hu Chai Wan, and that the person who sent the postcard was probably familiar with the connection and for some reason couldn't attend the opening. It wouldn't have been unusual for a woman like Elizabeth Hoag to be associated with Alva Vanderbilt. She was from a quite wealthy coal family from central Pennsylvania and moved in posh circles in Charleston, South Carolina, in the Delaware Water Gap for certain. She had friends like Fred Waring and other folks who came to golf on the Shawnee golf course. And she also traveled extensively abroad. The gift shop upstairs sold a wide array of goods from China that she had shipped from China. And we believe that a lot of the windows and doors were from China and they were fit into a structure that was designed for this space. Samuel and I certainly enjoy the ambiance of the atmosphere around Yin Hu. The porch all the way around means that we can enjoy the outside and it's an extension of our living room three seasons of the year. And we have been working to restore a lot of the original features to the house and update some of the shoddy construction that was done when Yin Hu was converted from a restaurant and gift shop into a private home. We are the first people to own Yin Hu and live in it, and we certainly feel very privileged to do that. It's an incredibly inspiring place to live and to work. The principles of feng shui are forever present, and you cannot tamper with them, or things will go horribly wrong in terms of the aesthetics of the house. I was inspired to name this podcast Yarns at Yin Hu because this work inspires the things I do with the fiber arts. and the banner and logo for the show feature vintage photographs of the house in the early 1920s. The front porch. On the front porch, I'll talk about upcoming project ideas. The first project in my queue currently is the Shaylin shawl by Lila Robb. It is the first pattern gift I've received on Ravelry, and it comes from TrezJ100, Tracy from Cleveland. So I'm very thankful, Tracy, that you've sent me a pattern. I feel that I have spun the perfect yarn for this pattern. During Tour de Fleece this year, I spun a loop bat. It was 100% merino, so it was very slippery and really tested my abilities on the spinning wheel. The colorway is Cicada. It goes from a very deep rust color through a pale rust color and then almost an orange sherbet color into a beautiful silver gray. Chain plied, it came out to about 350 yards of a yarn that's between a sport weight and a DK. So I think that will be the perfect amount of yardage for the Shaylin shawl. Over 2,000 people have knit that up and posted their photographs on Ravelry. So I was able to look at all of the patterns and even saw a number of patterns done with hand spun yarn. I feel that it will be a good match of yarn and pattern. And I even have someone in mind to receive that for a holiday gift. The back porch. On the back porch are finished projects, and I recently finished the pressed leaves tam style or beret style hat by Alana Dekos in her Botanical Knits book. I knit the pattern out of Cascade 220 Superwash Sport in a seafoam blue color. It came out really well. It was an incredibly challenging pattern. On my Ravelry page, I likened this pattern to someone undertaking writing a novel without the letter E, because there is not a single knit stitch in this entire pattern, which makes it incredibly challenging. I learned a lot of new stitches. I learned how to use a cable needle, although I'm not sure I'm doing that correctly. I did get a consistent stitch pattern and a nice even look to the hat. When I blocked it, it stretched out a little bit more than I'd like, but I'm thinking I might dampen it and maybe put it in a dryer, shrink it up a little bit. It fits very nicely, and I really like the way the color came out. The leaf design in the pattern is nice and clear. I think that Alana Dekos writes an amazing pattern. I love working from charts, and so her chart was very easy to read and to follow. And her pattern design and her attention to detail make even a very challenging pattern easy to follow. So I very much enjoyed it, and I can't wait to knit my next pattern from Botanical Knits. Also on the back porch is the resulting yarn from the Summer of Love Spin Along, sponsored by BZB Fibers. The color of the fiber was the brightest I've ever spun up. It had splashes of purple, orange, yellow, and green. Very psychedelic, fitting for the Summer of Love. And I decided to do something a little bit different with the yarn, something I had never tried before, which was to spin the yarn fractally. So in order to do that, I split the braid of fiber in half. I reserved one half, and then I took the second half and I divided that into four pieces. I divided them so that the weight of each half of the fiber was equal, but the thickness was somewhat different. Onto one bobbin, I spun the first half of the fiber, and onto a second bobbin, I spun those four pieces of fiber end to end to end, and then I plied the two together. The objective is of doing all of that is so that you get a yarn with a great deal of barber polling, which means that at any one point in the yarn, the two singles that are twisted together are of different colors, and the color variation results in a very interesting and playful yarn. For the most part, that happened, and I was very satisfied with the amount of barber polling in the yarn. What I was not very pleased with was that my spinning was somewhat uneven, and so I ran out of singles on one bobbin before I ran out of singles on another. And because I didn't want to waste those singles, I just kept plying. I happened to have some Shetland spun onto that bobbin, and it was about the same weight and the same thickness, even though it was all dark brown. And so my resulting skein looks like it has two different kinds of yarn on it. But I think that could be interesting, maybe depending on the project. And I'm not sure whether I will knit this up or I will give this yarn as a gift. I did end up with about 350 yards from 4 ounces. Some of that is the Shetland, but nevertheless, I'm pretty happy with the amount of yardage I was able to get with that. I have to give a plug to BZB Fibers and Patricia because her fiber prep is just amazing. This was the second spin along I have taken part in, and I think the third or maybe fourth bit of fiber I've ordered from Patricia because I just love the way she puts color together. I love her attention to detail. The quality of her fiber is very high, and each package comes with a little lavender sachet so that you can keep critters out of your fiber, and you can even store that sachet with your resulting yarn to keep it nice and safe and nice and fresh. Double happiness. My double happiness this week is kombucha. In early June, my friend Gwenny gave me a SCOBY. She had received one as a gift, and her SCOBY made a baby. So she gave me one of them so that I could make my own kombucha. I have tried making kombucha in the past, and I've killed my SCOBY, and I didn't keep up with it, and I was very disappointed in myself. So I wanted to give it another try this summer when I had a lot of time to really think about it and attend to it and give it the care it needed. It started out being very weak, not very effervescent or bubbly, but gradually I changed to a much larger container. I grew the SCOBY to a much larger size, and instead of storing the resulting kombucha in jars in the refrigerator, I invested in some swing top glass bottles where you can clamp down and seal the bubbly, the effervescence into the bottle. I'm very pleased with the result now. I feel like I'm really doing this in stride. I like the amount of black tea sugar ratio that I'm using, and I'm having a lot of fun drinking kombucha this summer. Maybe in a future episode, I will talk a little bit more about how to make kombucha at home and a little bit more about the SCOBY, which stands, by the way, for symbiotic colony of bacteria and yeast. And that is what converts the sugar in the tea into a fermented tea drink. For Gratitude Journal this week, I would first of all like to thank my partner and the co-inhabitant of Yinhu, Samuel, who has helped me put all of the technology required for this podcast together. He's designed the logo and the banner for the show using fabulous color and vintage photographs of the house. I'm really appreciative for that. And also, I'd like to thank all of my Facebook friends who signed up to and liked my page, even though there was really no content and I was just testing out a lot of things with Facebook before I actually started the podcast. Thank you to Linnell, Brenda, Rachel, Jessica, Jacob, Jacqueline, Misha, and Christy for first liking the page. Our quote this week comes courtesy of Goodreads. And in the act of making things, just by living their daily lives, they also make history. Anne Bartlett. Thank you for listening. The music in today's episode is Sweet. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Nature's ever get you high till your face is mine. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.